Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And you're in the clubhouse. It is a beautiful day. It's going to be a bit mostly cloudy today. A few rain showers coming through occasionally, some mainly on the windward. A little rain in the morning as well. It got wet as I was getting out of my car. The trades are 15 to 20 miles per hour. But again, mostly cloudy the skies today. We have Kyung Kim. She used to live on Maui. She's living in Chandler, Arizona now. And that's why if you go to the U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links and look on the champion site. She's playing for the championship today against Ashlyn Ramsey of Georgia. Right now, she's two up. They've started the second. This isn't 18 holes of golf. No, this is 36 holes of match play. We've got some great guests for you this morning. Larry Dorman, he's the columnist now for the PGA Tour. Travis Yerger is going to give us a lesson, head professional at Ko'olina. We'll be checking in with Mike Scanlon at the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic. Aubrey McCormick, Big Break Atlantis contestant. She'll be checking in with us as well. And Christina Merkel, University of Tulsa golf team. But first, we want to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Let me introduce you to the past president of the Golf Writers Association of America, who was also working for 10 years for Callaway, so he knows a lot about the equipment business. Last time we talked, he was writing for the New York Times, and now he's columnist for the PGAtour.com. Welcome to the show, Larry Dorman.
Danielle, it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Absolutely. You know, all of a sudden I was talking to someone. I said, I haven't seen Larry Dorman in nothing on the New York. And well, that's because he's going to be at the PGA.com. First question I have to ask you, is it strange not having a piece of paper that you hold up and say, this is something I've created, and seeing it as a .com creation?
Well, it is in some ways, Danielle, but as you know, the it's the way that the business is moving, and it's just for me, it was an opportunity to write columns and also to reduce my travel schedule a little bit, because I've been traveling quite a bit with the Times, and it's a newspaper that I love. I worked there at different times for almost 10 years, and it was a place that I loved, but I was covering 25 to 30 events a year, and that was just too much traveling for me. So I wanted to cut back a little bit.
You will be going to some events, some selected events, but you're probably not up in Connecticut today, right?
I'm not in Connecticut today, but next week I'm going to go to the Constellation TPC Seniors event to see some of my old friends out there on the Champions Tour, and that should be fun up in Pittsburgh. And then I'll go to probably for the remainder of the year, maybe six or eight events. So I'll be around, and I always like to get out there and take the pulse of what's going on. It's really the only way to know what's happening.
Exactly, but you get to do more feature writing, more in-depth writing than the in-the-moment columns that you have to churn out when an event is going on.
Right.
That must be fun.
And I got a little time to think. And so that, that at times that can be helpful. Sometimes it's dangerous, but most of the time it's up.
I like that. Yes, thinking too much. You know, being on deadline forces you to produce. And when you get too much time to think, you start bringing the doubts. It's like playing golf. If you have to swing and just go for it, you're fine. If you stop and start thinking, you get yourself in trouble. Let's talk a little bit about the beginning, though. From what I remember of our past conversation, you were driven to be a journalist. That was what you wanted to do. How did you get into the business, and where did you go from at the beginning? What challenges did you have?
Well, I've had most of the challenges that anybody can have in a journalism career. I started out like everyone. After I graduated from college, I started looking for a job, and I was very fortunate to find a job at a good newspaper in South Florida called the Palm Beach Post, which is, at the time, was one of the top newspapers in the state of Florida. So I got a good start there writing features, and then from there I kind of migrated into, I went out west to New Mexico and covered the police and the courts at the Albuquerque Tribune and wrote features there as well, and then came back and started covering golf. So, I started out in general features, went to news, and then went to sports, and it was really to me, it covers all the bases, and the reason I migrated to sports was because of my interest in it, and I was an athlete in high school, and I continued to pursue sports after I graduated, and it was the covering golf and at the Palm Beach Post, which I went back to. It was a great place to begin because Jack Nicklaus lives in Palm Beach County, and at that time he was one of the few golfers that actually lived here. Now, as you know, the majority of the PGA Tour lives in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
And, it's a great golf area. The PGA of America is headquartered here. And, it was a way to get involved in a sport that also had, later on in my life, the business ramifications as well.
With you mentioned Jack Nicklaus. Did you get a chance to interview him?
One of the great experiences of my journalistic career was that the first thing that I did when I came back and I went to sports and took the golf writing job was to go interview Jack Nicklaus at he was doing an exhibition at down in Boca Raton. It was 1978. And, Jack was a huge figure. I idolized the guy. I thought he was the greatest golfer in the world. And he was still, although reaching the end of the prime of his career, still in the prime of his career. And so I was kind of tongue-tied when I went up to Jack and started asking him a few questions, and he could not have been nicer. He saw my predicament and kind of the professional that he is, he just started talking, and by the time he was finished talking, he'd answered all of my questions, the ones that I hadn't asked included. So Jack made a friend for life because he was just a great, great guy. And one of the real statesmen in all of athletics, not just in golf, tremendous role model and tremendous man. And so that began a lifelong career in the game for me.
The part that really confuses me in a way, and doesn't, because it was a great opportunity, was when you moved from journalism into the public relations domain, where you have to kind of do all the spin. In journalism, you basically write what you know to be the truth. PR, you give it the spin, you're the spin doctor, and you create what the company image wants to be. Did you have a problem making that transition?
Well, I didn't have a problem for three reasons. Number one, I had five kids, and I had to figure out some way to put them through school. So going into the corporate world would afford me the opportunity to make some actual money, whereby I'd be able to pay college tuition. The second thing was, I was hired by Ely Callaway, who was a giant in business, not just golf, and he was an extraordinary man, and I began this whole excursion by agreeing to write his book, but I can tell you more about that later. And then the third thing was, you mentioned spin and corporate image, and the great part about working at Callaway Golf was that the things that I was saying to the media and in the advertising that I worked on with Ely had the added advantage of being true. So I had no conflicts whatsoever.
Yes, and I think that's for anyone considering making that plunge. You know, if you have a lot of issues about, you know, journalistic integrity, you're going to want to check out who you're going to go to work for and make sure that it's, you know, it's a comfortable fit for you. A lot of people find out that they're not comfortable and then have to make a transition. We're going to take a break. I want to talk to you. You had a chance to go to the Seoul Olympics.
Yes.
Did you, I mean, with London coming up, you must be, would you like to go?
Well, I was much younger when I covered the Olympics. I was at the Miami Herald at the time, and it was one of the most arduous tasks I've ever had, but it was also one of the most enjoyable, but I would not like to step into an Olympic job, and no, not at the moment, because of, you know, there are so many more factors involved that I would not be able to get up to speed on. So, yeah, I did my Olympics, and I was happy I did.
Yeah, I bet. We'll be back after this. We're talking with Larry Dorman, PGAtour.com columnist. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Welcome to the show. We're talking with Larry Dorman, PGAtour.com columnist. And Larry, do you mind if we talk a little bit about the things that have happened over the past week or two on the European and PGA Tour?
No, I'd love to.
All right. Yesterday or the day before, Jose Manuel Lara, he was disqualified on the European Tour. His caddy tried to hide a 15th club that was in Lara's bag. Well, the caddy was banned from the European Tour. Laura is trying to qualify for the British Open, the Open. On Monday, he goes to qualifying. I'm sure he wanted to do a little of, you know, working up the competition. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, Laura's not the first player and won't be the last to be disqualified because his caddy made a mistake. And, you know, while it's unfortunate, you know, I have to say that the player does have, you know, he's got the responsibility for everything having to do with his game and for ensuring that his caddy, you know, has done everything that he's supposed to do. And that includes counting the clubs. And most players, if you notice, you know, will, recheck their bag before they tee off on the first tee. They'll just look in their bag to make sure there aren't any, you know, there are not any, you know, any other clubs in the bag. And I guess, I wasn't there, but it seems that by what I've read about it anyway, that the caddy panicked because he discovered that he had an extra club in the bag. And so, you know, it's one of those things that happens, and I'm sure that, you know, Jose Manuel Lara is, you know, he's a professional. He understands the rules, and he understands what happened, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, again, I just, in this case, the caddy tried to cover it up, and you know, as you know, it's not really the act itself. It's always the cover-up that makes it worse. And
exactly. So. It would have been a one-stroke penalty or two-stroke penalty?
Two-stroke penalty. Two for every hole.
All right.
Yeah. And so, you know, his revised score, I guess, would have been 73. But, you know, it's really, all I can say is, and not having talked to the caddy and not, you know, having heard anything that he had to say, I would just have to infer that he panicked.
Yeah.
And you know, he thought he could get away with this, but, you know, he didn't. And,
no. Background. The guy was running the last 2 miles to get there in time for the tee time, the caddy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's, you know, sprinting to get there. Then he finds out that there's 15 clubs after the first hole. Laura apparently didn't know anything about it. The other guys in the threesome, they were playing as three, knew, but didn't want to say anything because they saw the caddy take the club out and hide it in the bushes.
Mm, yeah.
And they supposedly played poorly afterwards, you know, the two guys who knew and didn't want to say anything, and Laura, in his ignorant bliss, just had a fine round.
Yeah, and it probably would have been, you know, more helpful for the players to, you know, say something as soon as they knew, as soon as they noticed, because then it would have only been one two-shot penalty, and that would have been the end of it. But, you know, really unfortunate that... you know, that it turned out this way, and it's disconcerting. But again, it's, you know, these are among the rules. It's not an uncommon rule violation, as you can recall. I remember Ian Woosnam teeing off with 15 in the bag on the first hole of the British Open when he was in contention. I guess this must have been 5 years ago or so. And of course, he was irate. But you know, what can you do? The thing is that you have to take. It's like a pilot. You know, a pilot has a checklist. A tour player should have a checklist, and that checklist should include making sure there are only 14 clubs in the bag. And I know that you know. It's but it's even happened to the great players. Jack Nicklaus was caddying for his son at a U.S. Open qualifier at one point, and he discovered he had 15 clubs in the bag, and so his son was penalized. It was at a qualifier, and I can't remember whether it was Jackie or Gary who was trying to qualify, but he was well above the cut line, so he wasn't going to make it anyway. But it was, you know, it's interesting. You take the greatest player in the game, he's done it himself many, many times. He's checked his own bag, but he he wasn't used to caddying, was what it was. And so
yeah.
you have that happen. But the caddy did violate one of the cardinal rules even before the trying to conceal the extra club, and that is that he didn't show up, and you know, he didn't show up on time. You got to be there on time. Can't be spurning for your tee time. And even if you're caught in a traffic jam, you've got to, you know, you've got to find out what the traffic situation is before your tee time. So
it's your job.
There were a few different things that he didn't do.
Yeah. And same with clubs. Apparently, the USGA and the RNA are looking at the anchored putter question.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Mike Davis said something, I think it was in Golf Digest, that he was going to, or someone was going to, not him, but USGA or RNA, would have something to say by the end of this year.
Yeah.
What do you think that'll be?
Well, I think that if they were going to have something to say, they should have said it a long time ago. You know, they had the opportunity when these putters first came on the scene, which would have been right around 1990. But they had the opportunity then. There were a lot of prominent golfers who objected to certain players, I guess Peter Senior among them, other players who were anchoring the putter to their chin. And there were some who were, you know, who didn't like the whole idea of anchoring it to the chest. And now, of course, the belly putter, same principle. You're anchoring the club to your body, and then you're taking the stroke. And their contention then, and it is now, was that it was not a stroke of golf. Now, suddenly, I say suddenly because, it, you know, a little bit facetiously, because, you know, here we are, 22 years later, and now the USGA is talking about doing something about long putters. It's been, you know, it's been an issue ever since it began, and they concluded at that time that it did not, it, you know, it wasn't a problem. I think if you looked at the evidence now, you could conclude that it's not really a problem either, because if there was such an advantage to it, everybody would be using them on the PGA Tour. Because golf professionals are like any other professional. They will take advantage of whatever rule they think can give them an edge. And so this has become an edge because two major championships have been won by players using long putters. And, that, you know, that's the PGA Championship, of course, and most recently Webb Simpson at the U.S. Open. And to me, you know, I just... If they had banned the club as they do with other non-conforming golf clubs when it was submitted because it didn't conform in shape or in some other manner, you know, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I don't think anybody else would have either. But I don't see how you can have had a piece of equipment in play for 22 years on the tour and now attempt to ban it. That to me is problematic when it comes to legal issues and every other kind of issue that could crop up as a result of this. So it's not a pretty picture, really.
No, and, I couldn't agree with you more. And I also agree with what you say about if it were such an advantage, then everybody would be using it.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, I think it's because you have these younger guys, and I remember asking Webb Simpson in a press conference, it was last year, I believe, early in the year, we were talking about him using the long putter, and I asked him, you know, when he switched, and he said it was in college, and I said, were you a good putter when you switched to the long putter? He says, oh, yeah, I was a real good putter. So he just did it because it felt, you know, he liked the feel of it. And so he's been putting like that ever since. You know, chances are, if he hadn't switched to a long putter, he still would have won the golf tournaments that he's won because he said he was a good putter. Now, you know how these guys are about admitting that they're a good putter. They really have to be a good putter to admit it. And he admitted it. So... you know, I just think it's a kind of a distraction and really not one that we need because I think the game is fine as it is. And I don't see, you know, I think a lot of amateur players would have to give up the game if they took if they banned these long putters because there are some guys who have the shakes so bad that they just couldn't play if they had to go back to putting conventionally.
We're talking with Larry Dorman. He's the now the columnist for PGAtour.com. Larry, on kind of with clubs, but on a different level, I was reading on Twitter, someone sent out, I've seen five clubs thrown today, three in the water, one over a fence, and one at another golfer. You know, we always talk about the guy in the spotlight, Tiger Woods being, you know... Well, inappropriate in his reaction to anger and what have you. My question to you, sir, is have you embraced social media yet?
Well, I've kind of embraced would be a strong word. I've kind of kept it at arm's length. But, and by that, I mean, I think there are certain aspects of social media that can help me do my job better. And so in that sense, I've embraced it in that I try to keep up with you know, players' use of it and other things that might be interesting to readers, and so that's how I try to keep up with it. I wonder what golf course this person was at where they saw all these clubs thrown. Was that on tour?
I sent him a message asking him where he saw it, where he was, and I haven't gotten
another golfer. I would assume he must have been at a municipal golf course somewhere that had a lot of traffic. and not very good players, but
move already.
maybe he'll get back to you.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I would just say, yeah, I think social media is interesting. You know, some of the players have found out the how onerous it can become to you know, have to continually you know, tweet things and have given it up, and others just have seen the kind of the dark side of it, where you have all of these people who say whatever they, every unuttered thought is now in print somewhere. And
yeah.
So that's not a good thing. So I have reservations about it, too. But I think that fundamentally, it's just people expressing themselves. And you have idiots doing that in every other format. So why not written?
on talk shows.
Sure. What it is to me, it's like written. It's like a written record of talk radio, you know, in a sense, because you have, you know, when you have call-in shows, and I don't know if you ever take calls from the general public, but you know, sometimes the people come on and they have things to say that are emotional and not really grounded in fact, and you know, so they just kind of shoot from the lip, as it were.
Yeah.
And you know, this is kind of the same thing. I think Twitter's exactly the same thing. Although some people have forgotten that what they're putting out is actually being read by millions of people, and so they've gotten in trouble with that too, some athletes. So maybe they should teach a course on it, at the rookie orientation or something like that. But it's, you know, it can be a tool and it can be a ball and chain for the, you know, I think those are the, you know, kind of the you know, extremes, I guess you'd say, or the edges of it. You know, it can be a ball and chain, in that you have to see it, you have to read it, you have to see every single thing. You waste all this time on it.
Yes.
And then the
constantly
other end is,
keeping up.
You use it for what it's worth.
Exactly. It's thoughts. People have their thought, throw out a thought, and other people respond to it. It's having a conversation. You find like-minded people. It can be interesting, but there's a dark side when, you know, the stalkers start coming up, and people who just throw out mean-spirited statements. You
right.
just can't take that stuff seriously, period. You know, we need to come, you need to be back on the show soon so we can talk about the books you've written. My next guest, Travis Yerger, is standing by. He's going to teach us some basics about the game of golf, and I just, you know, we could talk for an hour and a half.
That would be fun, and I love talking to you. It's always great to talk to you. So, you know, call me or let me know anytime, and I'd be happy to come back on.
Excellent. Larry Dorman, PGAtour.com columnist. You can find him at PGAtour. There's a great little banner, and just click on it. You'll see his archives there. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
We'll talk again soon, and we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that? Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Let's give away some beautiful tailor-made Penta pearls to the, ninth caller. All you have to be is the ninth caller to win. It's 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. If you'd like to play a round of golf, there is a tee time for you at Ko'olina at 944, 1144. PCP Construction, they're going to go out and play today. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Royal Hawaiian has an 11 o'clock where the swinging engineers are going to take, you see, this is what you got to do. You have to have like a group of people that just go out and play. You can give yourself any name you want. It's like a bowling league, only it's golf, and you have fun together, and you get out in the sunshine, you walk the course, you have some fun. You may want to take a lesson, though, and just the person to do it, Travis Jurger, the head professional from Ko'olina. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Thanks, Danielle. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent, excellent. You know, I want to go over fundamentals with you.
Sure.
Because the grip, the balance, the backswing, the downswing, proper. You know, when it gets to the backswing and the downswing and the proper takeaway and pushing the club, and my mind sort of goes blank. It's like math. All of a sudden, I go, huh?
Sounds complicated.
It does. And there's words like trapping the ball. You know, trapping the ball? What? You want me to do what? Okay. Let's start off with, does it matter whether I use the overlap, the interlock, or the grip it with all 10 fingers grip?
You know what? That's a good question. And actually, it doesn't matter. There's been a lot of successful golfers, professionals that have used all three. Probably the most popular grip, though, is the interlock. Interlock is the most popular and the best for beginners actually starting the game. So when we teach, we like to recommend that they try both the interlock and overlap. We prefer the interlock for beginners, but at the end of the day, it's a personal preference. If it feels more comfortable to do the overlap versus the interlock, then we have them go with that. But we try to steer them towards the interlock, but, let them try both.
So basically, it's a grip, you don't want it in your palm, though, right?
Not quite in your palm or like the lifeline of your palm. If you look, at your palm, you can tell where the lifeline is, where, people can tell your future and all the stuff.
Mine's really long.
But, you've probably heard keep the grip more in your fingers. And that's true. Keep it more in your fingers. But also there's, outside of your palm, the opposite side of where your thumb is, there's a fatty portion of your palm that, the grip can and should rest along that pad right there. So in the fingers and along the pad of your hand, especially in the left hand, and then where you get, if you're a right-handed golfer, of course you want the left hand on top and you want it in your fingers and you're resting the grip along the pad of your left hand. After you have that dialed in, you just put your lifeline of your right palm, this is where your lifeline comes in of your right palm, you fit that right on top of your left thumb and then grip around.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. Try to keep it simple. That's the main key.
This is Travis Jurger. He's the head professional at Ko'olina. You can take a lesson from him. Now, the other thing, when you want to have a balance. You want to be balanced.
Sure. Yeah. Like all sports.
It's important. Okay. So how do I know if I have the right stance, my feet are far enough apart,
Sure.
Is there a way to know that?
Yeah, well, for sure. A simple way is to take your setup and ask a friend to push you from all directions, from your back, from your front, from both sides. And if you can maintain your balance without falling over, you've found a good balance point. That's probably the quickest and easiest way of figuring that out. Sounds simple, right?
Yeah, it does. I imagine if you've taken ballet or if you've done any karate or martial arts, that's where you learn your stance, right? Where you're centered.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the idea. You want to be centered. You don't want to be too much on your toes or too much on your heels or one side or the other, left or right. It's all about being balanced throughout the swing. And a tall tail, if you, you know, swung in balance is if you can hold your finish at the end of the swing. That's something we do with even our juniors. We have them, after they hit the ball, hold their finish. If they fall over afterwards, we know that they weren't in balance throughout the swing.
Hold your finish, and then you can feel whether or not you're in balance. That's a very good one.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods said, don't bury your chin in your chest. What is he talking about?
Well, that comes down to posture. If you put your chin towards your chest, you'll notice that your shoulders come over and they become hunched and you get over the ball a little bit too much. The idea of putting a little bit of space between the chin and your chest opens up your shoulders, opens up your back, and makes you stand taller, and not hunched over. So, I mean, that's a very good tip. It's a quick tip, but that's the whole idea behind that.
Oh, you know, speaking of hunched over, this is kind of like moving, I digress. I've been watching some of the old, you know, Jack Nicklaus during the U.S. Open. They were showing a lot of his old clips because it was the 50th anniversary of his first victory at a U.S. Open at Olympic Club. My question is, have we changed our posture in putting, or did Jack really hunch over a lot when he was on the putting? He seemed to, like, really, like, bend over.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's a good observation. You look at a lot of great players, and you'll see, like Jim Furyk, for example, he gets over the ball, he gets over the ball just like Jack Nicklaus, but he's a relatively tall guy. He's at least 6 foot. But it kind of comes down to what type of stroke you have and how you're built. I'm sure most people have heard of, you know, are you taking it straight back, straight through? You know, as the putter head comes back, does the toe open? Come close, and on the way through, it closes up. So it all depends on what type of stroke you're trying to achieve. Now, you know, if you have a mallet putter, that is typically going to be face balance. So that means that you'll have a more straight back, straight through stroke with not a lot of what we call toe flow. So the toe opening and closing on the way back and through. If you have a putter that's weighted from the heel to the toe, like a heel-toe weighted putter, that's more of a traditional putter. You know, Tiger uses one. You probably use like a Titleist, Scotty Cameron Newport 2, or a Ping, like a Ping Answer. So a lot of people are familiar with those types of putters, and that's the most popular model out there. And that putter actually allows for more what we call toe flow, so the putter opening and closing on the way back and through. So, you know, Jack and Jim both, they had more of a straight back, straight through type stroke, although Jack didn't use a mallet for the majority of his career, although he did use one at one point. The more you get over the ball and the more you stick your elbows out, the more that encourages a straight back, straight through motion.
The pendulum,
so,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can have a pendulum stroke with a straight back, straight through stroke, but as well as an open to close stroke as well, with the toe flow going open and close throughout the swing. So just kind of understanding some of the dynamics of that help you realize, you know, what kind of stroke do I have? What am I trying to achieve? And, you know, Jack had that straight back, straight through with his elbows out, and he tried to, you know, make that motion with his elbows and have them go back and forth. To me, you know, I understand it more as being, if you're the ball, it encourages straight back, straight through. So I think that's exactly what Jack was trying to achieve. But when you look like a guy like Tiger, you know, he's standing a little bit taller, pretty darn tall. You can recall what his stroke looks like and what his posture looks like when he's hitting the ball. And you can see the toe opening and toe closing. Now, we say opening and closing, it appears that it's opening and closing. It's staying, the putter head is just staying towards the ball on the way back and through. So technically it's not opening and closing, but it's the appearance of almost like a door opening and closing on a hinge.
Thank you for saying that, because a lot of people, you know, when you talk to newcomers or people who are just getting into the game or have been in, so these terms, you know, like hitting down on the ball kind of makes sense, but trapping the ball, boy, that's, you know, that's
a bad thing.
How do you trap a ball, you know? I mean, I basically...
Hit down on it, right?
Well, hit down on it, yes. But you have to come in contact with the club face. You want to trap the ball, and the club face are supposed to, you know, so the club face hits the ball. What's the word I'm looking for? So it traps it. Oh, dear.
Yeah, you know, and that's the danger of all these words and talking with beginners, because it really complicates things. And a lot of these phrases or words that are used, it's usually specific to an individual. So we all feel things differently. We all see things differently. So when you're working with a teacher or an instructor, they may say, you know, and this is a little complicated, but, you know, you've all heard of coming over the top or coming too far from the inside, you know, and what does that mean? And it's all in relation to how you're coming on your downswing, you're approaching the ball. Are you coming with the club too close to your body and it's swinging from in to out? Or are you going over the top where you're, you know, if you're a right-handed golfer, your right elbow comes way away from your body and the club is way outside and it comes across the ball from right to left and sweeps across. So, you know, if somebody's coming way over the top for whatever reason, right, the instructor may say, hey, really feel like you're coming in from the inside and swinging out to the right. So, you know, a lot of these things that people hear and what they're told, you know, it can be damaging more than anything, I think. I mean, if you hear something that doesn't make much sense, you know, you got to take a step back and ask why and seek, you know, some professional advice, because, you know, some of these things where keep your head down and you know, some of the examples that you just provided, I mean, those things can hurt you more than help you in the long run.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I want to let you know that Sala Ta'ala from Waimea, Kauai, is the winner of our Penta Pearls. Congratulations, awesome. Sala. Yes, and we'll be giving some more away a little bit later on in the show. And we'll be back after this. We're talking with Travis Jerger. He's the head professional at Ko'olina, where you can go take a lesson. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting. Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Okay, the bottom line is this. If you hear somebody telling you something about your swing and they're not a professional teacher, you know, and or you don't want to learn right now, tell them to go away. And trapping the ball is like having the face of the club come in contact with the center of the ball. you've made perfect contact. That's what you want to do. It's like you needed to be told that, right? That, yes, of course I want to trap the ball. I want to ask you this question, Travis. Mm-hmm. Travis Jerger is the head professional over at Coalina. They do a lot of things. They have, for instance, a clinic just for women. And I think that's called the Ladies Only Get Ready Golf Class.
We have that available. Yeah.
Right. And they do a lot with juniors. Now, when is it safe to put a club in a child's hand and expect that child to direct its energy to an actual target? Have you ever seen a kid when you give a club to a kid and all of a sudden he's like swinging? It's like, whoa! danger, warning.
We're doing that too as instructors sometimes. But no, that's a good question. When is it good to get a club in a kid's hands and get them started? It depends on the child. It really does. And I mean, when you look at the studies of development of children and, you know, their ability to focus on one task at a time and really give it their attention versus just kind of going through the motions and looking around at the sky and the bugs and the trees around them. They, you know, the studies show around 7 years old. Now we know that there are exceptions to that, and I think that's the key word, exception. A lot of kids, even at seven, can't handle it. It's just, you know, it depends on the child, like I said. But like I said, we've all heard and seen exceptions where you see a three-year-old or a four-year-old or a five-year-old, you know, in the cases of like Tiger Woods and Michelle Wee. I mean, both of those players started really young, and they started, you know, Tiger, of course, started before he was seven. So those are the exceptions, though, I like to say. So it depends on the child. You got to have an interest at first, and you got to know whether or not the child can focus for at least 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, I think a good idea is, you know, take your kids when they want to be with you to the golf course and let them play as long as they feel like it. They really just want to be with you.
Hey, that's great. You know, I think that I agree with that 100%.
You know
it should be fun. And, you know, you see a lot of parents just grinding it out with their kids and pushing them and giving them a hard time and, you know, not making the game fun. And, you know, that's the thing that we hate to see is, you know, parents really getting serious with their kids about the game real early. And, you know, most of the time it pushes the kids away from the game, which is sad, but, you know, it's got to be fun. And it's a game, right? It's not life or death. It's not, not about the sense, and it's about being a kid and having fun and learning a great game that will last you the rest of your life.
Exactly. Now, I talk about playing lessons, okay? Now, sure. And folks, I talk about playing lessons all the time with golf professionals. I'm not saying this because I want to get a free lesson. In the 14 years of doing the show, I've had one free playing lesson, and I've had no free lessons from anyone. So with that notion dispelled,
there's
okay?
There's no such a free lesson. It'll cost you something in the long run, right?
There you go. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. A lot of people don't like the idea of going and standing in a, you know, in a bay, you know, on a mat. Would you take a person out and say, you know, I want a playing lesson, even though they really didn't know a lot about the game?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do that?
I do whatever they want to do. you know, they're paying for the lesson, so I give them what they want. Now, I will make recommendations and let them know what I think, and provide all the information. Let them make the decision. That's important. You know, give them all the facts, give them all the reasons why, and let them make the decision. You know, that's how I approach those situations. And, you know, most times they will understand and follow my advice. You know, maybe not the first time, but But, you know, if they insist on doing something, you know, that's up to them. So
I imagine during a playing lesson, you can, you know, the person's going to want to get some input, but at least they're away from a building where other people are watching. You're having that experience of walking and moving, and you don't feel so focused on. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable in that environment where so you can stop and say, you know, am I holding this right? And then you try to swing. You don't have to make contact all the time. I'm just trying to encourage people to make it fun. Go out.
Yeah.
Take a lesson with Travis Durger. Will you be back on the show with us again?
I would love to.
Great. It's so much fun talking with you. I mean, we still have to talk about, you know, how the back knee plays a crucial role in making the power of the swing come to play for you, okay?
Sure. Hey.
Yes, it's all.
There's a lot of detail.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail.
About it all day.
Yeah, we could. That's the whole thing. We have Aubrey about to join us, but we're going to take a break. She was the Big Break Atlantis contestant, Aubrey McCormick. She's also a coordinator at Green America. I thought it'd be fun to check in with her and see what she plans to do with her future. And so we'll be back right after this. Thank you very much, Travis. Aloha.
Aloha.
My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back to the show. Yes, we've got a lot going on. The Junior PGA Championship section qualifier continues at the Ka'anapalikai course. The final round started at 7 o'clock, and the winner of this, boys and girls, 13 to 18 division, moves on to the Junior PGA National Championship later this summer. Stephanie Kono won and actually went on to what was then the Masters PGA, Junior PGA. It was a world event. She went to Germany to play. I'm not sure that they still do that part, but it certainly is great experience for all the kids because there are hundreds of children, it seems, out at Ka'anapali. And congratulations to Mark Morrison. He won the U.S. Senior Open Championship qualifier at Royal Ka'anapali, and he will be playing in the U.S. Senior Open Championship. That'll be at the Indian Wood Golf and Country Club in Lake Orion, Michigan, lovely state, in July, right before my birthday. How nice. I should go there. Stan Sousa is the alternate. That'd be a nice trip to take. Let's go. Let's go to Canada. What do you say? Mike Scanlon's there. Welcome to the show. He is the PR. Well, he's the communications, the media coordinator. Mike Scanlon, you do everything, don't you?
I do it all.
You do it all.
I really do.
And it's a good thing, too. How do you keep up with all the different languages? Because it's a global tour, this LPGA.
Oh, yeah. We definitely are golf's global tour. But, you know, most of our players now speak English. But, you know, I try to learn a few phrases in every language just to relate to all the players. And I think a lot of our staff does that as well. And, you know, I think they appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm looking at the leaderboard, and it's changed since I started the show. It's interesting, but I don't know how you keep up with the pronunciation of all of the girls. Sandra has had a, she shot a 63, and I'm not even going to go there because you're going to pronounce her name for me, her last name.
Changkeisha, just like it looks.
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't, say that again?
Changkeisha.
Changkeisha. It actually is just the way it looks. You know, I have to get a new pronouncer from you. And that's the one thing you must have to do all the, every year is update. Now, Sandra, is she's a rookie, isn't she, on the tour?
She's a rookie on tour, you know, and she was pretty unheralded coming on the tour, but most people don't know she was a D2 Player of the Year 4 years running at Nova Southeastern University. She had 16 collegiate wins, so certainly she's been, you know, in the mix in the collegiate ranks. This is her first year out here, and you know, I think everybody was pretty surprised with her 63 on Thursday, and she backed it up with even par yesterday, and now she's one under through four today, so we'll see.
Tell me something. What happened with the weather? There was some delay, and for the folks who don't get a chance to keep up with what's going on tour, because they're working, tell us a little bit about what's been going on with the weather there.
Yeah, Thursday afternoon, we had a pretty serious storm roll through with some lightning and thunder, and at about 4:20 Eastern, we postponed, and we never resumed. So we had about 72 players had to return on Friday morning to complete their first round. We played, amazingly, until about 9:30 p.m. last night, longest day of the year, sunlight-wise. And managed to get everybody but seven players finish in the second round. So they came back this morning, Saturday morning, at 6:45 a.m. Seven players completed their round. They made the cut, 79 players at one over, and then they teed it up for the third round. And, you know, we're underway with the leaders through three holes currently.
This is the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic. It's the inaugural, the first one. Manulife just joining up with the LPGA. That's terrific.
That's right. They're actually celebrating their 125th anniversary as a company today. So all the Manulife folks are out here. They seem to be really enjoying it. You know, they're a financial services company here in Canada, similar to a John Hancock down in the States. But, you know, they've really gone all in as a title sponsor. And, you know, they sent teams out to five or six different events so that they could see how other sponsors and tournaments run. And I think they've taken the best of everything and done it here because they are doing a phenomenal job.
Hee Kyung So is in the lead with NB Park. We've also got Amy Yang, Sandra Kung...
Changkeisha.
Changkeisha. Thank you. You're going to do that for me from now on. Shen Shen Feng is our first mainland China winner on tour. She's backing up her victory with a 66 and a 68. She's doing terrific.
Yeah, she's playing great, and I don't think many people that travel with the tour or who are, you know, closely related to the LPGA were surprised to see Shen Shen win the Wegmans LPGA Championship. I mean, she was ranked coming into the week number 10 in the Rolex rankings. With her victory, she vaulted up to fourth, but she's one of the more consistent players out here, and she's actually one of the more likable players out here. If you get a chance to talk to her, she's got a great personality, very easygoing. And, you know, I spoke to her earlier this week, and she really said she felt no pressure to back up her victory. She knows she's a good player. She doesn't really feel much outside pressure from China or from her family. But clearly, she doesn't need it because she's playing great. She's only one shot off the lead right now.
Yeah, and if you're a consistent player, then you just go out and you compete the way you would compete anytime. And
exactly.
You hope for the best lie, right? The good bounce.
I think we all do, right?
Yeah. I hope for more than that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just getting it up in the air would be good. yes. Now, is it true that no one from Duke has won on the LPGA?
That's true, and that's kind of a running storyline for the last few years every time Brittany Lang gets close to the lead. And I think it's something that a lot of other ACC schools take a lot of pride in because we've had a lot of ACC winners. And, you know, colleges throughout the South have won a lot of tournaments on the LPGA, but never Duke. So Bernie's trying to reverse the curse, and she's doing a good job of it thus far. But, you know, we've seen Brittany toward the top of the leaderboard. In fact, we saw her over at your place at the Lotte event, and she was a first-round leader. But she continues to say she knows she has the physical tools to play. but she keeps working on her mental game. Her mental game is where she tends to suffer a little bit. So we'll see how it goes over the next 2 days here, if she can hold up.
You know, if someone told me there was a curse on me, I'd have a little bit of a problem with my mental game, too. Let me take care of some business here. KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. It's exciting to go down the leaderboard. And then we, Karen Chodine, now that I just mispronounced
Chodine.
Chodine, thank you.
Yep.
See, we're having a lesson here, kids, okay? And we have the professional here to take care of it. It's not me. Karen Chodine is from Sweden. And she's an amazingly long hitter, isn't she?
She really is, and she's been playing great this year. She contended at the Kraft Nabisco. In fact, earlier this year, she's gained enough notoriety. Golf Channel asked her to be mic'd up, so she wore a mic on Thursday during the coverage. And for those who don't know Karen, she is one of the smartest people I've ever met. Very witty, a lot of jokes, fun to be around, and also just absolutely kills it off the tee, so everybody's happy to see her playing well. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see her get her first victory in the next few weeks.
Interesting. And then we get down to Lexi Thompson, who had a pretty killer 66-69 too, didn't she?
Yeah, we talked to her after her round yesterday, and she knew she left a few putts out there. It's a very scoreable golf course here, pretty big fairways, fairly receptive greens, and that, you know, Lexi's a long hitter, and she's a great ball striker, so this sets up well for her. I think she's, you know, she's happy that she's now a full-time member of the tour. She knows where she's going to play week to week, unlike previously when she was relying on sponsor exemptions. And I think, you know, I don't think she's in a rush to start dominating. I think she's going about it the right way. You know, she's had some ups and downs, but, you know, I think in the long run, she's going to be somebody that we all have our eye on.
I'm glad you said that. She's not in a rush. She doesn't feel the pressure. I have to go and produce victories. It's the worst feeling in the world, and I can only imagine how much, you know, Michelle Wee probably balked at that.
Exactly. I mean, you know, she's got two titles already. She's got one on the LPGA last year at the Navistar event. And then she went on to win on the Ladies European Tour over in Dubai. She became the second youngest winner on the LET in history. And so she's already got those two. And I think a lot of people would feel pressure to immediately respond and keep winning. But remember, she's only 17. I mean, she just went to her high school prom, so...
Totally, but you know what it is?
She's got plenty of years ahead of her to pile up the wins.
You know what? I don't think the person who's done the winning feels pressure to go continue to win. I think that it's a lot of other people who have expectations that pile those expectations on that person and say, okay, now that you've won, keep winning, keep dominating, keep doing it, because you are going to save the tour. You're going to, you know, you're going to become our banner. And that's not fair.
I agree. And I think Mike Wan agrees, because I've heard him say to media before that, you know, he's fielded the question quite often, you know, is Lexi the next big thing? Is she your next big marketing opportunity? And he said flatly, no, because why would we put that pressure on her? We've got enough global stars. We've got enough young Americans. You know, we've got enough talented and great personalities that we don't need to rely only on Lexi. And you know, she's 17 years old. It would be unrealistic. So I think she and we are going about it the right way. And I think, you know, as she continues to mature and grow, and if she does get a few more wins, sure, you know, she'll be, you know, on the cover of some more magazines, and that won't be a bad thing.
No, that unfolds well, but who wants to be a marketing tool?
Exactly.
Please. You know, I'm let me be me and flourish the way I flourish. That's it. Where is Yanni Sen? Is she taking the week off?
Yep, her first off week of the year. I think Yanni has been going through a little bit of a tough time. You know, she won three of the first five events and continued her top 10 streak through the Lotte event in Hawaii, and then kind of fell off at the Wegmans, where she just barely made the cut. And I think there was a lot of pressure on her going into it, you know,
again,
with the number of majors she's won in recent years. And I think she's just, she's taking the week off. She's trying to regroup. She's got 2 weeks upcoming, the second of which is the U.S. Women's Open, where she has a chance to achieve the career Grand Slam at the age of 23, which is hard to even fathom. So So I think she's just taking a little mental holiday this week and trying to figure some things out down in Orlando.
Excellent. Good for her. I'm glad she didn't feel like she had to show up. I've got to say, it's really good to see Ayaka Kaneko. She's from Hawaii, you know, came through Hawaii, I should say. We always like to claim people as ours.
Sure.
Like Kyung Kim, who's now going for the U.S. Women's Public Links Championship. She's in contention right now, doing a fabulous job. It's just great to see. And of course, Michelle Wee broke the, you know, the miscut tragedy. 70-70, she's in the mix. She's building her game up. And that's great to see. She's under a lot of pressure. Don't you hear it from everybody? When's Michelle going to do something?
You know, I hear it every week. And, you know, I don't know whether it's fair or not. You know, she's been around. She's been in the public eye for a long time now. But, you know, I think Michelle, and I think most people would agree, I think she did the right thing. She went to school. She went to Stanford, got a great degree in communications, and she spent time just being a college kid. And I think, you know, we've all seen the Michelle behind the scenes, fantastic personality, fun to be around, and that's what she was able to do for 4.5 years was be herself. She didn't have to be in front of the media all the time. She didn't have all that pressure. And so, you know, the last few weeks she's been struggling, but I don't think Michelle Wee is in jeopardy of anything going too wrong in the future. I mean, she's got the swing. She's got the talent. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And, you know, obviously great to see her make the cut this week. And she's one under par through 12 holes today. So
excellent. You know. Yeah, we'll always be cheering for her. Sometimes I wish she would just, you know, be alone and not have all the focus. That's the same with the Tiger thing. You know, if he's not the only person throwing clubs around,
right.
You know, and you'd think he were because he's always in the spotlight, and that's unrealistic. Mike Scanlon, the media relations coordinator, he's at Manulife Financial, the LPGA Classic there. So glad to see this sponsor so committed, and I look forward to talking to you in the near future again. Mike, you're always a pleasure to have on the show. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for your support of the tour.
Absolutely. We'll be back with Aubrey McCormick, who hopes to be on tour. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Have you heard of Golf Channel's Big Break? You probably have. Maybe you haven't had a chance to actually follow the whole experience of Big Break. Here is with us now Aubrey McCormick. She has been a contestant on Big Break Atlantis. Welcome to the show, Aubrey. Thanks for calling back in.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you are a golf professional, a teaching professional in the D.C. area. Is that how you got interested in being a contestant?
No, I'm actually not a teaching professional. I work at an environmental nonprofit in D.C., but I was a teaching professional about a year and a half ago. but I was doing that as a way to build sponsorships because my heart's always been with playing professionally.
What was it like going through the big break auditions? You had to audition, right?
Right, yeah. You fill out a form online, and then once you've filled that out, they give you a call back and ask you to come down for a live audition, and you'll speak with the producers, do an on-camera interview, and then you'll hit different golf shots that they ask you to. And then after that, there's a couple weeks that goes by, and if you're chosen as a semifinalist, then they come and do a whole nother interview with you, and then you're basically... When they let you know later on down the road, even more weeks go by if you're a finalist.
Wow.
So it's a good, yeah, it's a good two, three month process.
You kind of have to put it out of your mind, I imagine. Just say, well, I've done this part, and now I'm just going to wait, but I'm not going to think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You just have to go in and just, I mean, it's sort of this show is a lucky strike, I think, if the producers like your personality and like your game and what you could bring with the other players that are going to bring on the show. So there's a lot of factors.
Do you ever have an actual competition, like a stroke play competition with the contestants?
No, you don't. Usually the finale show, you'll have two girls head-to-head, but it's match play. But the entire time we were there, we played a practice round together, 18 holes, but not under competition. It's mainly just all those tricky little challenges you see on the show.
So the best golfer doesn't necessarily win this competition.
Oh, absolutely not. That's the funny thing about it is you've seen a lot of big break stars that got knocked off the first couple episodes, and they're already on the LPGA Tour the next year.
Yes, that's the beauty of it. But you get the exposure, and that must be good. It must have really taken you further than you expected.
Yeah, it's definitely opening doors. It's shining a light on everyone's story, and like we know in golf, it would be cool to have different stories and different, everybody inspires somebody else. So I think it's cool to have all the different personalities and everybody's coming from a different walk of life. And it sort of lets the fans relate to the person they see on TV.
Yeah, and I automatically got interested in, when I looked into your background, I thought, oh, look at, you started volunteering at Green America and an environmental nonprofit in Washington, D.C., and now you're working for them?
Yeah, I started as a volunteer, like you said, and then I have been working for them for almost a year now, and it's just been a great experience. I've been in the golf industry basically since I was 18, whether it was playing in the college scene or playing professionally for 5 years or teaching. So I've seen the whole spectrum. But getting into an office environment, especially in Washington, D.C., where everybody's got, you know, the highest education, you definitely have to come in and be ready to work hard and put your time in. So it's just a great way for me to step off the course and really get myself educated so that I can eventually fuse golf and the environment, which is what I'm most passionate about. So it's cool that the Big Break was the platform for that.
You want to make golf greener? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, in a sense. I am looking to bring more sustainable practices to the golf industry, and to help golf as a whole be a leader and a pioneer towards helping the environment instead of being an inhibitor of it or making it less sustainable.
Okay. Links courses are very sustainable courses. And we've moved so far away from that in creating these lush, luxury, you know, Shadow Creek comes to mind. And it's a gorgeous golf course, et cetera, et cetera. But it's certainly not sustainable. It's in the middle of a desert. And we've kind of moved away from a golf course that doesn't need a bunch of care and upkeep. I can see what you're talking about from that reference point. Although golf has gone a long way to reducing the use of pesticides and herbicides and what have you. So we really commend the Golf Course Superintendents Association. In your work for Green America, though, there is an event coming up that looked like a whole, it just looked like a lot of fun. The Green Festival, are you going to be part of that?
Absolutely. I just went to the Chicago Green Festival, and we had some amazing speakers and people anywhere from, you know, Russell Simmons came to the one in New York, which was really cool. And, I went to the New York one, the Chicago one. We're going to have one in D.C. and then one in San Francisco and one in L.A.
Excellent. So, you'll have to make one in Hawaii because we're pretty green over here.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. We should work on that together.
Yes, excellent. Aubrey McCormick, thanks so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure talking with you. We'll have to talk again. Keep in touch with me, okay?
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinning do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. Christina Merkel, a student at the University of Tulsa, given a full ride scholarship, by the way. She's been playing on the U of T golf team for 3 years now, and this past week she was playing in the U.S. Women's Public Links Tournament. She didn't make it to the finals. Hawaii's Kyung Kim is battling for the championship right now. They're in their second 18. She's two up over Ashlyn Ramsey of Georgia. It's been a real hotly contested. They've never been more than two up on. In fact, Kyung Kim's been in the lead all this time, but it's tough out there. And the University of Tulsa team did not make it to the finals. Christina Merkel has been playing golf since the age of six, so she knows what it's like to have victory and defeat. And we got a chance to catch up with her at the Jenny K and talk with her for a few minutes. She has spent, well, her entire life honing her skills in the game of golf. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Really good. It's good to see you. You look terrific.
Thank you. It's good to be back, actually.
Are you here for the summer?
I am. I'm going to be here for the next 3 months, so I'm excited.
I believe that you played in the sectional qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
How did you prepare for that?
I guess the nice thing about it with that tournament is that, you know, you go with your team and we kind of just feed off each other. So it's just a really good positive energy. but you're playing with so many other great teams that have made it there, so you're just, like, trying to do the best you can. And for us, it just wasn't our tournament, so.
That's what I'm wondering. When you're a team, you know, I know how you can feed off each other and your successes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're really playing well and one player is kind of giving the energy to another. When it's not going as well as you'd like it to, how do you guys work together to make each other feel better?
With that, it's more like when we're on the golf course, we can kind of tell if someone's playing good or bad just by their body language or
yes.
how they're walking.
Yes.
And even when you see someone, like, not doing so well, like, you just kind of, if you're following them, you kind of just clap and you're like, hey, like, it's okay. You got so many holes more left. And, you know, if we can see each other from, like, across the fairway, like, we'll start yelling. So I think even when we're not having the best round, I think in our heads we're still thinking, okay, we have so many holes left. You know, we have four of the teammates who can help us out. Like, you still have someone there to boost you, even though we're not there right next to you.
Yeah. And do you come across some players, you know, on your team who have not adjusted well to losing, or they kind of get bummed out with themselves?
Oh, yeah. That's me. I'm the one who does that. I'm really tough on myself, and I think it's just I expect more. And, you know, my mom and dad have always been there to support me, and they've always kind of pushed me to always do better. And so, like, you know, when we miss a tournament by two shots,
yes.
you know, I automatically think back in my head, oh, my God, I missed a putt here, I missed a chip here. Those are the two shots. Oh, no. So I'm that person.
So you beat yourself up.
Yeah.
And what do they do for you?
I'm that person, like, nothing can really affect it. I just kind of go into that mode right after a tournament. But it's only for a while, and then I get out of it eventually.
What do you want people to do for you at that time? Leave you alone?
Yeah, I just need a process. I'm that person that I need a process. I need to see, okay, what do I have to do next time when I'm playing in a tournament to not make those mistakes? So.
Yeah, I think it's important because I don't think a lot of people know. You know, everybody wants to fix it.
Yeah.
And you don't want it fixed. You just want to take care of it yourself.
Yeah.
That's, I think, a huge lesson, you know, for people, for parents. Sometimes they try too hard to work on something that they can't do anything about.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we don't know what to do. I want to go in. My son lost. Well, I want to fix it, make it better for him. But
yeah.
you just got to let it go, let it
yeah.
alone. So you're here in college, and I'm assuming you still want to go to the professional ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I do. I definitely do. I figured, you know, I'm at school. I've already put in 3 years. Of not only school and golf, but just time in general. And, you know, a lot of kids are kind of ending school early to go pro. And I'm not saying that's a bad decision, but I figure if you have a full ride, you might as well take advantage of it, get the education so you have something to fall back on later in life.
Absolutely. Now, you've been playing golf since 6.
Yeah. For a while.
I mean, you must feel like this must be like old hand to you. It's normal. It's,
yeah. I don't think I could ever imagine myself doing anything besides golf, so.
And you have the experience now of the competition that's out there.
Yeah.
Has that been helpful?
It's been very helpful, actually. When you go to a tournament sometimes, I don't know, Junior World, you know, you do play against some of the best players in the world, but, you know, not everybody's there, you know. And so when you're going to all these different college events, you just see so many players who are, like, in the college rankings, and you're like, oh, so-and-so's here, you know, this would be a good match. And so it's really fun, and you kind of feed off the competition, too, because everybody wants to win, so.
How do you feed off the competition?
Well, when you walk into a tournament, you can kind of just feel it. Like, you walk there, and, you know, everybody's practicing. You can kind of see it on everybody's face, like, they're here to win. So you're like, man, I got to beat all these people to kick their butts and stuff, so.
Okay. Is this kind of like playing to the level that your competition is.
Mm-hmm.
When you are acting with a group of seasoned actors, you rise to the level of the competition that you're in.
Yeah.
So the better the people are around you, the better your game will come out of you. Do you find that to be the case?
That's part of it. Because, I mean, of course, if you're playing with someone who's good, you're going to want to play good to keep up. But I feel like if you're paired with someone who's not as good, you still have to be able to push yourself to do better anyways. So it's a little bit of both.
Do you find it easy to push yourself, or do you need to be pushed?
I find it easy to push myself, but I think it's more because my parents were always the ones who kind of, like, pushed me along the way, so it kind of became a habit to
yes.
okay, I made a birdie here. Now I got to go make a birdie here.
Yeah.
I'm 200, got to get three. So it's just one of those, it was just one of how I grew up.
And your parents instilled that inside you so that it became habit for you.
Yeah.
Did they also give you a break? Like a time when you had time out from all the goals?
Not really, but I'm kind of glad they didn't. You know, I don't think I'd be where I am today if it wasn't for how they raised me and how they kind of pushed me to always want to be better. And it's still like that. And, you know, I'm very grateful for it because, you know, I see my potential and I can see what I can do. And so now it's just trying to get there and, you know, reaching that potential.
Okay.
So,
the University of Tulsa coach saw in you at six an amazing swing and gave you a full ride if you were still interested in golf when you became eligible.
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm wondering is, how did you keep that swing pure?
I never switched coaches. My dad has always been my coach my whole life. And even in college now, I'm fortunate because my freshman year, my head coach did try to mess with my swing a little bit. But, you know, we kind of sat down and talked about it, and now we're at an understanding where, like, you know, this is kind of how I've swung my whole life. And I'm not saying that some changes aren't needed, but I'd rather keep it within this parameter of my golf game. So
you were able to say, this is where I stand. That must have been an interesting confrontation.
It is. I feel like when you get into college, a lot of coaches, especially when you're a freshman, kind of baby you, kind of walk with you a lot. They want to make sure you can make the decisions. And that's kind of how it was my freshman year. And it was interesting because when we were at a regional tournament, first two rounds I didn't play very well. But the third round, you know, we sat down and I was like, hey, you know, I understand you want to help, but I should be able to make a decision on my own. I've been doing this for, you know, so long. So, and I told him it wasn't to be disrespectful, but I figured, you know, everybody plays the game differently. And, you know, since I've been around myself for so long, I kind of know, in a way, what shot would be best to do to get closer to the hole.
Yeah.
So we came to understand, like, par threes, he'll help me, and if I have trouble with a putt or something, then I'll ask. But he knows, like, okay, you know, she can play it, she can do it, so I got to let her make the decision. So it's been really good.
That's great. Do you like having a caddy on your bag? Would your caddy be, and I think I know the answer, would your caddy be the shut up kind caddy, carry it, and just be quiet? Or would that caddy or she be someone who gives you input?
Probably not input, but he or she would definitely not be quiet. I'm not a quiet person. I mean, I walk down the fairway and I start singing. So, I mean, I doubt that person would be quiet too. But I'm definitely that player, like, I'll talk to my caddy and I'll ask, like, you know, what's the yardage? You know, how do you think it's playing? But in the end, I want to be the one who says, okay, this is the club I want to hit. This is how I'm going to hit it. Because when you kind of rely on someone, if you don't hit the shot you want, it tends to happen that you're going to blame that person instead of yourself. So if you're the one who makes the decision, you only have yourself to blame.
Excellent.
So
I think it's interesting. I watch Ricky Fowler. He always talks about we. We did this or we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about him and his caddy as being a team. And I think it's not something that you see it more today. But the decision-making of the two people, the player and the caddy, it's interesting. I think sometimes the caddies play more of a role today than...
Yeah.
Do you see that too?
Yeah, they definitely do. Your caddy isn't just someone who just carries your bag now. He's like your best friend on the golf course. He or she's supposed to know you like the best inside and out, you know? You're having a bad hole. You know, they're that person that you can lean on to kind of get you out of that little slump so you can do better the rest of the round. So I definitely think, like, now caddies are definitely playing, like, a big role in, like, just golf in general. Like, you know, I don't think you can play well without having someone there to help you, too.
Christina Merkel, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Aloha.
And I can let you know right now that Kyung Kim she lives in Chandler, Arizona, but from Hawaii, Kyung Kim is two up over Ashlyn Ramsey. That's being played in New Jersey. Ashlyn's from Georgia. They're in their 27th hole today. There is a great Cancun Sunbelt Senior Tour package that's being made available through Norm Gunther's HawaiiGolfTravelNews.com. You should go there and find out all about it. We'll tell you more, but it includes a 5 nights, 6 days pro-am package in Mexico this October. 5 nights, 6 days. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Moon Palace Resort. 5 nights in a suite, meals, entertainment, activities, alcohol, tips are included, you know, so we'll give you more information as it comes closer. Poipu Bay Golf Course, making the golf club possible. Thank you so much. Poipu Bay, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, sheet metal, you name it, you need it. Downspouts, AC ducts, commercial kitchen, custom stainless steel counters. Alakai Mechanical is the place for you. Star Protection. For protection for your property, get a risk assessment first. Protection for your home or your business, for your concert, anything you need. Star Protection. Get them on your team, whether it's here in Hawaii or in California. And by Avance Salon, color cut silkening technology, extensions, a manicure, a pedicure, be good to yourself. Whether you're avant-garde or more conservative, Avance is the place for you. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.